How long do I got?
Probably 20 minutes.
Okay, this clock is on.
Probably a half hour.
Okay, I'm Rochelle and I'm an addict.
Hi, Rochelle.
And I just asked her how much time I have, and she said between 20 minutes and a half an hour. So anybody out there want to help me out, just do like this, okay? Because I haven't set my clock. And I believe I'm supposed to share on carrying the message.
Yeah.
And I'd like to thank y'all for taking the chance and sitting here listening to me. Not just asking me. Sitting here is a chance. And a chance means there's a slim chance that it may not go your way. So it's a chance, but we come in here and we learn how to take some chances. And so when they called me several weeks ago to ask me could I do this, I was on my way up to Erie to carry the message as I proposed to do it, and that's sharing on what's going on at the world level in our fellowship. And when she called the young lady, I said, I can't answer you right now, and I need to look at my phone, see if I had any appointments, knowing I didn't want to do it. Because my message is carried in a different way, and I've learned by being around here for a day or two, I could say no. So if somebody asks me to speak, I know I could say no, but I'm too scared of what the consequences of saying no to this fellowship would be, so I don't say no. But I know I could say no. I just ain't tried it yet. So, I'm too scared. You know, and if you don't get nothing, you know, what's been freely given to me, I got to give it back or there's some consequences. And the program tells us every decision I make from now on in, there's a consequence that comes behind it. So if I say no to this fellowship, what could the consequences be? I ain't found out yet. So I'm Rochelle and I'm an addict. And I'll give you a brief synopsis of who I am. I'm the youngest of eight. I was born in Pittsburgh on Wiley Avenue, which is a block and a half away from Center Avenue. I used and used and used. I got high. I missed a lot of things, but a lot of things I didn't miss. And when the time came, and I'm in the middle of my fourth step, so I'm really like wide open. You know, my fourth step to me this time is like I'm going into the surgery. So I haven't gotten to the, you know, to where God's like dug it all out of me, but I'm on my way down that corridor with all you sweet, loving people from the fellowship looking over me, telling me it's going to be okay. And I've learned to believe y'all, so I know it's going to be okay, but I'm just going in. And I know, because I've been here, my clean date is March 3rd, 1992, so I just celebrated 20 years. I know when I go in this surgery, y'all going to be in there with me, and I'm going to come back out with y'all. You know, because see, my message is, I ain't never got to do nothing alone no more. I ain't never got to do nothing alone. I don't never got to do nothing in no fear no more. I can come to you and say, hey, how am I going to get through this? And somebody has some experience. And it says, everywhere I go in this fellowship, somebody has some experience on what I'm going through, what I went through, or where I'm at, even if I ain't going through nothing. And so I'm going to, first step is great. I have to share this first step. It says in It Works, it says, this is a pivoting point of my recovery. You know, you think after 20 years I've pivoted already. I've pivoted a couple times, but it says that. You know, this is a pivoting point. And the message there is everything I need to know is in my basic text. Everything I need to know is in a piece of literature. You know, the true message to me is if I need some help, if I can't get in touch with somebody to ask, pick up the literature. If it isn't written, it isn't so. It isn't so. But the message also for me, and besides the first step, is during the service position I serve, is to truly let every addict know there's a program out here called recovery, and it's available to us all. You know, that's the journey I'm on as far as, I ain't even a nature. And you see what I did with that ad? Because see, God's in charge. You see that? And this program is full of miracles. That was a miracle. Because I would have ran from an ant. We'll fight a full-grown man on a corner, but we'll run from a bug. You know, I don't got to be there no more. You know, and I wrote up here, I'm just, this first step is deep. Getting to it is so great. Because the journey I'm on with the fourth step, again, I'm going to go backwards and forward, is I'm doing some things that I have to do because I've worked 12 steps several times, and it's right. No other reason I got to do it, because it's right. You know, in that 10th step, in that integrity, you learn how to do the right thing, and it's right, and it don't feel good. So when I made the decision, that third step had told me make a decision and make some action with it because it was right. And I made it this decision. So then I decide, even though, you know, they say, go, I put a period, don't put no question mark. I just want to put a comma or extra space. So I decide to get to the other side of the journey. I'm going to walk to it. But as I've walked this journey, God's taken me at this point of a situation and put me over there. And I didn't even feel the in-between, but I decided I want to walk through this one because it's where I'm supposed to be. That's what I said. So it's more pain than it really has to be. Because I want to walk. I know God's walking with me, but I want to walk. Why not let him levitate me? He's done it. I'm living proof. I've gone into a situation, and the next thing I know, I was over it, living, flying, everything, but I decided I want to walk through this one. And it hurts spiritually. You know, I've learned when my spirit is hurting now. Not my head, not my heart, but when my spirit is being really ruptured. And it hurts spiritually, but it's right. You know, I can't say it is what it is. It's just right. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with me just doing right. And so part of, you know, my sponsor would say was carrying the messages for me to come in here and let you know we could do anything. There's no way in the world I can do this journey without a we. You know, without a smile, without, you know, going into a meeting. I'm on a 30 and 30. So I'm going through something. So every time I go to a meeting, my sponsor has me going to the newcomer and hugging them. Somebody don't know nothing about me, don't know, because if they hug me, they'll feel the same pain that they have. They won't realize that, you know, my pain is somewhere else, but that inner pain, that spiritual pain will connect. So I'm hugging and, you know, trying to let them know it's going to be okay, because they're letting me know it's going to be okay. And you know, and the message of that is, if I do that, if I learn what is carrying the message, what is the atmosphere of recovery? And the atmosphere of recovery is actually out there on NA.org website. You go, everything we've been through, we try to record it, because we're addicts, we journal every day. And it says some of the atmosphere's recovery is making sure when you see a newcomer in your home group, you're the one to go get them, even if they don't stand up. So we know how we looked when we first walked in there. When we see a newcomer to our area, even though they don't stand up and say, I'm a newcomer, we know how they look. And that's how we carry our first message of welcome here. We go, you come to my home group, I sit real next to you, and we're real silly. You know, and they tell you, please be quiet, Rochelle. But I try to let them know what our true primary message is. You ain't got to suffer this. Not alone. You can, even if you make the choice to suffer it. And let me help you learn how to say help. And in our literature, it tells us our common bond is we all suffer from this disease. You know, I ain't got nothing else in common with anybody would come hang out in the woods all day long. But this disease, which is very powerful, that's why I'm here. You know, I got, see, you know, that. So I've never looked for no differences, but I'm really trying to figure out what keeps me coming back, besides being scared to run up and down the streets with no shoes on. You know, because I could say, you know, I got some time. I got a full-time job. I got this. I could slack off, you know. And my message is get to as many meetings you could as often as you could. And right now in my recovery, I'm doing 5 to 7 meetings a week. And I don't count 3 meetings in one day as a meeting for, you know, 3 meetings. And I don't know what else to do. I do, but I don't. You know, like, what if I don't go to a meeting and I run through a red light and the cop stops me? You know, if I don't come to a meeting and learn how to be honest, how am I going to deal with that? Or am I just going to say I was wrong, not paying attention? And I don't know. This first step is deep. work the steps. I mean, that is truly the thing for me. I almost said this new word, the hit. You know, that's one of these words we got. I ain't do no hit, so I don't know what a hit is. But that is truly the freedom. And when I was riding up here, by staying here so long, getting in the circle, I was telling who came up with me, who I've just been blessed. It's my nephew with 9 months or 6 months. So I went in that circle and I said his name. Say somebody's name when you get in the circle. I said his. I mean, I pray for anybody, but I said his name. Could you imagine coming around here for 19 years and your nephew still out there? See how powerful this program is. I said I had to keep coming back because they said if I keep coming back, in that 11th step, it says all my dreams will be fulfilled. And I dream that if my grandchildren need this fellowship, I have a part of it being healed. 20 years down, you know, the message is we can keep this going. We can. You know, I wish I could by myself, but y'all don't want me to, neither. But we can keep this message that we don't have to suffer. That's a lie, and I think it starts that in the beginning of the war. No addict needs ever suffer and die from this disease again. You know, and all the messages is right in our basic text, so I pulled out my nice old basic text here. I just want to say, you can't read it. Because every year, I underline in different colors. So some of my pages, you just can't read the words no more. Because every time I pick it up, the message is here. You know, I see something I didn't see last time. Like when I started this fourth step, it starts off at the beginning. When we come across some of our character defects, we could put the lid back on it, stew in it, serve it up, or let it go. I called my sponsor and I said, what do it mean, serve it up? That's never been there before. And she said, that's right, sweetie. They just put that in last night just for you to see it for the first time. But I didn't know what it meant to serve it up. I really didn't mean, what do it mean? Do I bring it up here and I get rid of it? What do serve it up mean? And she told, she said, no, because she's always saying, you'll get to it. I love her. You know, do what you was taught to do from the beginning. So I started going on to meetings and asked them, what do serve it up mean? And I'll know when it's it. And the final one I got was, I can take the bitter and angerness I have and I can give you some of it, you some of it, you some of it. It don't get rid of it for me. You know? You know, and I don't want to do that. What I want to do is let it go. I don't want to serve it to everybody out here, my hurt and my pain. When as I was telling, you know, if we were coming up the road, my nephew, I got an inner peace. You know, even though it's rough. You know, it's rough. This works out, it's rough. It's rough, but I got an inner peace that I know I can sit down at night and close my eyes and go to sleep. I really know I can do that. You know, if nothing else, if I'm unable to sleep because of the, you know, the life situations that's going on, I've learned in this program, if I don't get high, this beautiful thing we call a body is going to lay itself down when it gets tired enough. So I can just go on for the next 4 days. Because when I get tired enough because I ain't getting high, you know, I will lay down eventually. That's how the body is. And so, you know, given the message, I had all this good stuff written up to say. You know, I Google everything. So I Googled the message in different languages, all, you know, different origins and all that. Yeah, Google set you free. So I Googled given the message. But, you know, how do you just be honest, my sponsor said. You know, really let somebody know what you believe. I believe this is the best fellowship out there. I believe none of us have to use again. I believe that. I believe that we all have a choice if we can just tap into what that choice is today. You know, it's the message that the newcomer is the most important person. And it's not always the person with the least amount of time. Because right now, I'm a newcomer in the situation I'm in. Never been here before. Never, ever been here before. But I'm a newcomer in it. And if I go in and ask for help, somebody will realize I'm the newcomer in this situation. How could I help you through it? You know, that's a message to me. That's a message that maybe, you know, some people need to hear someday. Just because she got 20 years and she ain't balled up behind it, but I say, I ain't never been here. And I don't want to be here again. I got work the first step because that tells me how I got here, you know, and so I won't get there again. But how did you get here? You know, somebody tell me their experience on how they got here and how they got out of it. You know, because, you know, I'm a newcomer. You know, that's really good. I'm a newcomer. And I'm that bittersweet pain. I got to do right. And I like doing right. Not on this, though. Not on this. I like doing right. You know, not just, but I'm honest. If we stay honest, and the first step, it talks about our honesty, our open-mindedness, and our willingness. My willingness to stay honest is far over exceed my willingness for anything else right now. You know, I can grab onto. I just want to be honest, God. I had to get out the house the other day because I'm so all over the place. And what I did in the midst of what I'm going through, I said, God, help me. Help me, help me. You know, I can come in here and tell y'all, help me, but when I was at home, I wasn't screaming out help real often. And I said, help me, God. And I left the house. I go to work like 4:35 in the morning, and I got behind this big Silverado. I know what it was, but the plate of it had God. I followed it all. It had God. And I followed it all the way down the road, and it said God to me. And then I realized I had learned in my third step when I said take my will. This time when I said take my will, I really didn't know what I was talking about. Because I didn't know what I had taken back from my will. Because I get up, I pray, I try to be a service and all. But it was a will that I had deep in me that I didn't even know what it was. So when God removed that will, I think I was starting to take focus off of God. So I don't know if, you know, if my will was hanging way down there. They say you stay here long enough, you got to get deep, deep, deep. So I got my backhoe this time. I ain't doing it with no shovel. And I'm getting deep. But I prayed that quote. It's a prayer in the other fellowship, which we love. We love the other fellowship. They got us where we're at. You hear me? But the other fellowship is it's a prayer, and we suggest in this fellowship as it being a quote, a saying, or whatever, but not a prayer. So I said that quote for like 30 days, and my will was, you know, it became to be removed, and I still can't tell you what it was, but it feels good. It feels good that whatever Rochelle was getting ready to try to control, I asked for it to be removed. So I'll do a lot of the cliches or whatever, just because it works. You know, this program works. I am a miracle. This program works. And another thing that I've noticed about me in the last 4 weeks, it's good, because when you stay around here long enough, you don't got to stay in it long enough. You don't got. I'm not stuck, because I'll do like this when I'm in a crap. You know, so I ain't stuck. Don't tell me I'm stuck. I got sponsees. I got sponsors. I got money, right? So I'll jump around. But what I did learn out, I thought my happiness depends on what I did. So I wasn't trying to control outside of me. And my sponsor had spent about a year saying, if it's further than this, forget about it. So I thought my happiness was really dependent on me. I'm going to be nice to you. I'm going to be happy and all that. But where I'm at, I found out that my happiness is totally dependent on God. God gives me all the happiness I need. I have nothing to do with my happiness. I ain't heard no. You know, I really fight. And just besides praying the prayer, what helped me get there is I moved, which is very stressful. So we can't. When something else comes in this fellowship, we should be aware. I should be aware of it. This causes stress. This course said, well, I moved, and when I moved, I had a storage area, and they went to the storage area with this 27-foot truck. I moved a 27-foot truck full of clothes. Honestly, I would have told you before I moved from there, I didn't substitute my addiction for nothing else. Because it was in a storage area like 3 miles away from me. So I would buy something, take this out, take it to the storage area. Right? So it didn't, I wasn't substituting. I've worked the steps. I know how to substitute. I'm telling sponsees. You want to go shopping? They, Yeah, don't buy that if you can't afford it because you said substitute. So I'll lie to myself. I don't know about anybody else. I'll lie, and I put it over there. It was a 27-foot truck full of nothing but storage bins, brand new clothes. You know, but I thank God I was able to pack them all up and take them to a woman's, not all of them. All the three sizes too small. And take them to a woman's shelter. You know, and what my message is, if I can do this, I know anybody could. And if I can do this, basically, if I can come up and ask for help, if we can ask for help, no matter what situation, you know, because people want to help you. And not everybody in there, and I'm blessed to have some sponsees. If you go into a meeting and you really see four people want to help you, you're doing good. The rest of them may just be there to be clean, which is great. But if I want to do this recovery, I got to let my spirit get to those four that want to help me. The clean ones, we can fellowship, we can have a good time. But when it comes to my recovery, which is available to us all, I have to be really open and exposed. But you can feel it. You know, you work, you know, a few steps and tap into yourself. I can feel it. You want to help me. You know, it ain't that you want. Yes, you want, because you want to help yourself. If I help you, I help me. You know, so I'll ask every now and then, how could I help you so you can help me? And I got people coming back after a few years and say, you helped me, you know, in service. And, you know, the structure service, I was in a H&I facility 15 years ago, and I met the young lady like 2 years ago somewhere, and she walked up to me and said, hi. I said, hi. You know me. You're an addict. Yes, right. You know, and then she said, I knew it, right? And she said she was in the facility that I was the panel leader at the time. And she went to run. She was done. It was December. And all I said was, baby, just wait till the weather break. And then you go. Because when I tried to, you know, break out of rehab, they told me, just wait till, you know, your ride get here. And I stay. And 15 years later, she is still here. You know, so everything I go through, I get to share it with. I like this fellowship. I really do. And that's why I took on a service. I like this fellowship. You know, right now I have a nephew with 6 months here, a sister with 4 years, a brother with 3 years, and a nephew with 11 years. So when I would get in a circle, you could be my brother today. I would, you know, fantasize because we come in here. You know, I came in real delusional. I didn't care. I say, that's my brother. And every time I see him, I'm going to hug him like he's my brother. So right now I have a nephew who I would love to see here. So I have a young man in one of the meetings I go to. Every time I see him, I give him $1 for the basket. Because I would give my nephew $1 for the basket. You know, so I got to help him to help me get over that. You know, some people in my family, you know, with me with NA literature over everybody's house, how do you not see? Who is an addict? They put that on the brightest piece of paper. You notice that? How do you not see that? You know, I write messages to him. Call auntie on literature. You know, he calls me, but he don't see what, you know. So thanks for, you know, taking the chance on me. You know, really thank you. And, you know, thanks for inviting me up. Whoever, you know, let God use them. Because everything I do, I look for God today. Whoever called me on the phone and only called me once again, thank them for letting God use them so I know. There's no doubt that somebody's going to help me before I leave. I'm leaving at 5:30. I'm Rochelle and I'm an addict. Thank you. Thank you.
Where's your 5 minutes?
I'm not phone.
Okay. All right. Okay. We would like to thank Rochelle very much for bringing the message, carrying the message, and I'm sure it has touched a lot of people here that have heard it and had their minds open with honesty, willingness, and open-mindedness. Okay, at this time, we'd like to introduce our second speaker, which is Rich M. He is from the New Way to Live group of NA. And I have known this gentleman for a while. I've attended a couple meetings that he has attended and he has chaired. And at this time and that, I would just like to introduce Rich and thank you.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name's Rich. I'm an addict.
Hey, Rich.
It was good to hear Rochelle share on carrying the message. I know that when I got here, I like one of our, a little bit out of the basic text about when at the end of the road. That's how I ended up here. Couldn't function with or without drugs. I ended up here hopeless. I mean, that's my story right there in a nutshell. I ended up here and I just, like, I didn't want to live and I didn't want to die. And I was caught, I was in a dilemma. And I was unsure of what path I should take. So the court system helped me out a little bit by giving me a place to come to. They said, if you can't decide, we will for you, right? So I showed up here with resentments, uncertainty, hopeless, homeless, and I'm not kidding you. Those are all things that I had going on. I'd lived a lot in prisons and stuff. I mean, that's where my addiction always had me going to prisons. So that's what I thought my life was going to be. That's what I'm talking about as far as hopeless. I didn't see anything else going on in my life other than what I'd been up to for the last umpteen years. So that's my story as far as like how I ended up here and stuff like that. But in carrying the message, there's a lot to say about it. I know our basic text talks about the most important vehicle that we have in carrying our message is the group. So I know that that is the most important thing. That's what I believe. I belong to a group where we try to make sure that that happens. I mean, we try to do the best we can, and we do that through group conscience. We make all of our decisions through group conscience. Like Rochelle said, we're asking God to direct us in how to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. But sometimes we have to be involved in carrying the message to the clean addict who suffers too. So we always have to keep that in mind, and I know I keep that in mind too, because I know I've been the suffering addict clean who needs help through a group or an individual or whatever. I know that they say the group is the most important vehicle, but there's so many other ways to carry our message. I like what Rochelle said about carrying it honestly. I think that's the most important ingredient in carrying the message. I know that every time that I go to carry the message in speaking or something like that, I always ask God to help me carry it effectively. I mean, I'm like, anybody that knows me knows that I'm in prayer before I go to do it, because I'm trying to share NA's way of recovery, right? That message, not Rich's message. Sometimes I get those messed up a little bit. Like, I want to tell you Rich's message, and I forget that NA's message is a lot better than Rich's message. It's highly effective. It works. Rich's doesn't work too well, especially when I try it with myself. It doesn't work too good. So, carrying the message, I know I've been involved myself in doing it several different ways. I know that a few years back, I was carrying the message into the youth, the Gateway Youth Facility for the young ones. And that was a little difficult for me. actually showing up and trying to share our message with youth. It was very, very, very difficult because they were disruptive, and it was hard to keep focused on the message of recovery when you wanted to say, please be quiet. Don't you know that, you know what I mean, like going in there with some strict shit or something, you know. And so, I mean, that was difficult, but someone asked me to go do that. And I'm one of those people that if NA asked me to do something, I'm like Rochelle said, I can't really say no, and I don't have her theory on saying no, but I like that. I really did. I'm going to think about that one. But mine is it's just a different situation that what was freely given to me, like Rochelle said, I need to freely give back to others. And that's carrying our message to anybody. We love doing it at our home group. Rochelle shared about newcomers being the most, and it says it right in our literature, being the most important person at any meeting. So that's who I like to concentrate on carrying the message to. They're the ones that need it the most. Right? I like what it also says about, about the any addict and all that kind of stuff. But I love what it says at the end. It talks about hope. I think that is the most important thing that I concentrate when I'm trying to carry the message of recovery is hope. Because that's what I got. Like, I'll tell you, have you ever gone to a meeting and you heard like the best friggin' speaker you ever heard, right? And you just wanted to hear more? And they wrapped it up, everybody's clapping, you're feeling damn good because you heard some hope, right? And you're feeling like so good after hearing the hope, right? I've been to so many meetings where I have left feeling so much better than when I went to the meeting, right? That's the kind of stuff. When I think about sharing our message, that's the kind of stuff that I think about. Like a newcomer. I want the newcomer, like if I'm going to share at a meeting or at our home group, I want the newcomer to feel that. Like I want them to know that like you might be in the right place. Like if we could just get away with that, the message of hope that, dude, you might be okay. Maybe. It's very, very possible. And I know I've done a lot of public information work where we go into schools and stuff like that, and we share our message there, too. We do the exact same thing that we do in our meetings in public information and H&I. That's where I got my message from. I got the hope from H&I, right? That's what drawed me to come to Narcotics Anonymous, other than the court saying I need to be here. But other than that, that's what crept in. That's what crept into me, because when I sat in jail, and I can remember sitting in jail, and the Hospitals and Institution Committee came in, and the person that came in to speak was somebody that I used to use with, that I said, there's no way that this dude is, you know what I mean, doing anything good in his life, not knowing what NA was about or anything like that. But actually hearing the story, because I thought I knew dude. But when I heard the story, I knew dude a lot more than what I thought I knew dude, right? That's one of the funny things out there in addiction is we think we know a lot of stuff about people and we think we know ourselves real good. We come to Narcotics Anonymous and boy do we find out that we don't really know too much about who we are and stuff, right? And some of the stuff like Rochelle was talking about sharing on, working steps and stuff like that. That's some of the stuff that comes out of working the steps. And honestly, I'm trying to say honestly, is we develop hope, and that's where I developed it. Like, I developed it right from, and Rochelle said it, right from step one. When I was able to admit defeat, when I was sitting in jail there saying, you know what, I think I'm here. I know I wrote some bad prescriptions and stuff, but I think that I'm here. Because I'm a drug, I think there's a problem with drugs here, right? That, you know, I mean, I know I did some criminal stuff, but the real problem is that I couldn't stop no matter what. Like, my son, I didn't stop for my son. I didn't stop when I went to the penitentiary. I didn't stop because I was on probation and with the threat of going back to jail. Like, I didn't stop. I couldn't. There was times when I wanted to, when I said, man, I cannot use today. I have to go give a urine. And I would give up on that. I would just say, you know what? Fate is what it is. I got to get, you know, I'll just get high and I'll show up and I'll hope that my urine somehow is magically clean. That's addict thinking, right? And today, through hope, right? Through hope, I can share that. I can share that. That story, I could share that with somebody, right? As a newcomer or an oldcomer or whatever, I could share that, just that little bit of information with somebody that needs to hear that. And you know what they get? They get a big bag full of hope from that, saying, you know. And then when I show up, like I've showed up at a couple meetings in my hometown where they know me as someone that they would never see in Narcotics Anonymous, believe me. I could show up down there and no matter how much time I go, I'm not talking about time here. I'm showing up with our message of narcotics, that there's hope, right? That those people can see somebody and say, yeah, I knew him when, and I can't believe now that he does it. You know what I mean? He went into what school and spoke to what? That kind of stuff. That's what I seen going on in Narcotics Anonymous. I got involved in public information because I believed in the message that it works so much in my heart that I wanted other people in the public to know that we're a credible organization and that you could send your sons and daughters. That was my goal, was to go and tell parents that, you know what, if your sons and daughters are in trouble with drugs, right, they can come to Narcotics. Now, I'm not going to promise you anything. Well, I'm going to be the first one to tell them. I cannot promise you that they'll get shored up and all that stuff and they'll be upstanding citizens, might even be a minister someday. I can't go that far. But what I can do is say, if they come to Narcotics like I did, right, who was hopeless, who said that my life is jails, right? My life is jails. That is it. That's all I've seen in my future. Your sons and daughters can come here to this fellowship and they have a good chance. I always like to throw that word good chance in. I even like emphasize it to the parents and stuff, that they have a good chance of doing something other than what they're doing right now. What that is, I don't know. I can never say, you know, they'll do this or do that. So it was all about hope. That's our message, very simply, is all about hope. Just because I've been around like a day or two, a very brief time in this fellowship, I still, when I hear a good speaker, get that feeling at the end, when that speaker's done, I still got a blast of hope in my ass. When I'm driving home or something, I'm thinking, man, was that good. Damn, what can I do for NA tomorrow when I get, you know, that's the kind of feeling I get whenever I hear a good speaker who carries the message well. And sometimes I get it with a messenger who doesn't carry it well, too. I'm thinking, boy, I don't want to do my shit like that. I don't want to carry it like that. I don't know what dude's up to, but I don't want to do it like that, right? So, and that's a hope shot all by itself right there. I mean, like, you know what I mean? That'll give me hope. Don't do that, you idiot. Don't say that, you idiot. Don't, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I have learned so much from being in Narcotics Anonymous as far as hope goes. That's what I got here. I mean, I got hope that I can make it through today without using. I really do. I hear a speaker or somebody carrying a message and I'm digging it, I got a lot of hope. Like, my hope increases like tenfold, right? And the longer that I stay in Narcotics Anonymous sharing that hope with others, and like Rochelle, I've been part of showing up somewhere at schools and stuff like that, and 5-6 years later down the road, people were always introducing themselves. Hey, Rich, you remember me? Yeah, I sure do. I sure don't. But nonetheless, they always, you know, I always hear somebody say, I remember when you spoke, or you remember when you did the thing at Gateway, or you remember when you showed up at the school. I know a couple years ago we were sharing a little earlier about our message of hope, our short message. It doesn't have to get real complicated, right? Our message of Narcotics Anonymous. Well, I was at a college, and they asked us to do a presentation on Narcotics Anonymous, and usually our presentations last 40 minutes. Once you go to PI school and all that shit and learn how to do it and stuff. But the speakers before me were eating into my time, so I kept looking at my watch. You know, I'm thinking, time is a dwindling, man. Like, there is a certain amount of story that I need to say to tell them about our message, right? I mean, I need every minute I can get. And you know what? No, I don't. That's what I learned that day is, no, I don't. Because these people left me 5 minutes before lunch break at this college where we were speaking. And there's people here right now who was actually there. So they know I'm not up here bullshitting, right? It's about the truth today. The truth is, I believe in Narcotics Anonymous. But we carried that message that day. The people, me and the people that showed up there, we did what we needed to do in 5 minutes. Our message is that it's so simple, right, that our message is a bag of hope, right? That's what we told the public that day, is Narcotics Anonymous can and does help people recover from drug addiction. Very simply, we had 5 minutes to do it, and we did it. And I don't know how, believe me, because I'm the one that did it, and I don't know how the hell I did it, to be truthful. But I know from our readings and all that, that how simple our readings are and how they were put together back in the day when all those guys were working on our message of hope. There was a big band of people who came together and wrote that stuff because they understood our dilemma, right? And they were doing it themselves. One day at a time, they were recovering from drug addiction. And that's why Rochelle tells you that all the answers is in the basic text, because that's the truth of our fellowship. It is. Like, it isn't at my meeting on Friday nights. You know, our message is there, but that's not where it's at. That is not where it is. We're just a vehicle. And it says it right in our, that the most important vehicle was the group. But the book itself speaks for itself, because it was written by addicts for addicts. Right? That's the hope that comes. Get the basic text. Start working in the basic text. Start working on the program of recovery is the 12 steps. That's where I got hope from, right? That was the guiding power to give me the hope to say, I think I can make it one more day without using. And I've said that a few times in my recovery, that I just need to make it through today without using something. And how difficult that is when you want to. Because I've been there. I've been right there saying, you know what, man, that's what I know how to do. Like, I know how to go right there. This shit works. Like, it does exactly what I want it to do. Wipe my shit out, right? Wipe my memory up, right? Who cares about tomorrow? Just do it today. And that's exactly why I did it in the first place, right? And this message of hope right here in this blue book says that I don't have to use that avenue anymore. There's another avenue. And how do I do that? You guys. I show up at the group. And like Rochelle said, I'll show up at the group and say, you know what? I'm going tonight, right after. I'm on my way. But I figured I'd show up here. Just for the heck of it. And then somebody tells me that I don't have to do that. Why don't I come to Eaton Park afterward? And grab a hamburger or something, which I am kind of hungry anyhow. So before you know it, it's the next day, and I made it through another day clean because somebody gave me hope and said, Rich, you don't have to do it that way anymore. I know that's the way you know. You're used to that. But why don't you try a different way? It's been difficult. It has been a struggle here and there. You know what I mean? Mostly very simple. Don't take nothing. Very simple. Don't take nothing. And keep Narcotics Anonymous first, right? Keep all those principles. Keep our message of hope first, because that's where I got it. right? So now be involved in giving it. And that's what I do today, is I make sure that I'm part. But you know, there's days that I need to do it for me. Sometimes I'm not giving hope to somebody because I need it myself. I'm taking. I'm showing up at a meeting and I'm taking it, right? I'm not giving it today. I don't have it in me. So I show up at a meeting and guess what? It's always there. It's there for you. It's there for me when I need it. It's there for the next person that ain't even found it yet, right? That's what I believe in, is when we share our messages, we're helping to prime the next generation of carrying our message. That's why I go out into the public and do it. It's because those are our future addicts who are going to end up in our rooms. I'm not saying all of them are picking this guy or that circumstance. Someone in this damn room is going to end up in Narcotics Anonymous. I want them to have clear and accurate information of who we are. That's why I do it. Because I need to know that it's clear and accurate information for me to get any hope out of it. I need to know it works. Right? And that's what I'm involved with today, is carrying that type of message into facilities and stuff. Not H&I, but PI, I'm kind of done in that area too. I've done that for a few years. Some people know me as PI Rich. I ask that you please delete that from your phone. Just put Rich. That would be good. That'd be real good if you did that. But that's okay, though. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I believe in the service structure of the spirit of rotation and stuff. So I've rotated out of public information that broke my heart. But I believe in it so much that I've just moved in another area of service. We're still carrying the message. I know that much. We're still giving hope, right? We're just doing it in a large scale, kind of, which is cool with me, because the more people that know about our fellowship can find us and believe that we're credible, I'm okay with that, because that makes me feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in Narcotics Anonymous, which is help others. That's what the book says. We get the most benefit out of our recovery when we're helping others find recovery. So that's what I do. I mean, I do it for that reason, but I also get a big kickback myself. I stay clean another day doing a commitment, or I stay clean just on your hope when you share the great message, and I'm walking and driving home that night thinking, man, was that person great or what? I got to get that girl to come out to my home group and speak, right? I heard the hope. I want that person to come give some other members that I think need to hear some hope. So we got to get that girl to come out to our home group, give some hope, because there's people out there that need it. Thanks. I appreciate you guys listening today.